Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
The police will remove that man. There will be no outbursts allowed in this committee, either for or against the nominee.
There is a strong tradition of social justice in the Catholic Church that had a profound influence on me.
He'll try to reach common ground on issues they both agree on, not on issues important to the Catholic Church, such as the life issues and embryonic stem cell research and the family.
The great Western heresy that we can be saved as individuals. That any of us alone can be in right relationship with God.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
You might have seen the headline in the Wall Street Journal about Sunday schools. It's not often that you read that paper of record about Sunday school, but apparently this long American institution, and it is in some ways a very American institution, Sunday school, is apparently on the decline. The headline reads, Why Sunday Schools Are Closing. And I want you to think back to the heyday of Sunday school. Perhaps for some of you, it may have been the 40s, the 50s. I remember it was still going strong when I was a kid, and that was in the 60s and the 70s. And it's very difficult to find not only kids, although there aren't any shortage of kids around, and people who want to do what Sunday school does. So why is it? And what should Sunday school be for the church? We're going to answer that question here in the first half hour of Issues, Etc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. It's Tuesday afternoon, July the 14th. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. For the next 2 hours, you can use our toll-free number. Questions or comments are welcome. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Bob Ron will join us a little bit later. We'll talk about mission work in Muslim countries. It can be dangerous stuff and definitely not popular with the government or even with people on the street. Charmaine Yost will join us. She's going to be testifying Thursday before the Senate Judiciary Committee. She'll bring us up to date on the Senate confirmation hearings of Judge Sonia Sotomayor. And then in the last three segments of the program, we'll conclude our four-part daily series with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger on End Times Teachings. Today we're going to be talking about Israel in Bible prophecy and tying up any loose ends that there may be in our series on End Times Teaching. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, a regular guest. Pam, welcome back.
Hello, Todd. It's great to be back. How are you today?
I'm doing well, and how are you?
Pretty good. And all the excitement of the All-Star Game is going on here in the city. We can see a blimp flying over the stadium, and they're starting to shut roads down, and there's a lot of excitement.
It is. We had some folks visiting the studio earlier this morning, all decked out in their Cardinal red. They're getting ready to go over for the parade. Even Jeff wore his Cardinals hat today. So, I mean, just a little tip of the hat to the local festivities.
That's right.
The Wall Street Journal notes that Sunday schools are closing. What's your answer to the question of why?
I think there are a lot of factors. The Wall Street Journal touches on some of them. They cite the competition for sports that never used to be on a Sunday morning, and they cite divorces where children are shuffled back and forth to one parent or the other on the weekend. But I think a deeper, more probably fundamental reason is because I think the church has lost sight of what Sunday school is and what the purpose of it is. And we've tried every fool thing for years with entertainment and fun reigning supreme in our efforts. And in the end, I think that falls flat. we leave the kids with nothing of substance, and really they can have a whole lot more fun lots of other places. The world does fun so much better than the church.
Okay, so you think that it's both an external and an internal mm-hmm. problem when it comes to Sunday school. Let's deal with the internal first, because I think it's probably more pertinent to the church. The church can really do something about this, whereas mm-hmm. apparently the church cannot prevent soccer leagues from scheduling games on Sunday morning. But let's That's talk right. about that internal problem. What did Sunday school begin as in service of the church, and what has it in some cases sadly become?
Well, that's a good thing to know, the history of it. Actually, Sunday school started outside the church. It started in England with a gentleman, Robert Raikes, who back in the 1700s, I believe, was concerned about the Oliver-type kids roaming the streets of London who apparently had nobody looking after them. They were getting into trouble. They weren't getting educated. And he thought if he could corral them, teach them some reading, writing, and arithmetic, and religion, give them some food, give them some purpose, he could really help them. That movement grew, and especially the focus on teaching the scriptures to children, and it was all part of that era where lots of lay people in the churches were starting all kinds of associations and efforts to help society and to help people in need, and One of those was the Sunday school organizations quickly crossed the pond, came to America, and like wildfire within Protestant churches really grew. In Lutheranism, it didn't catch on right away, and I don't think it's ever really caught on in the Catholic Church. Maybe there are some examples, but we, with our schools, and with our German-speaking we really didn't see a need for Sunday school. We were all about taking care of our own, and we did that through our Lutheran day school. So it was not until like the early 1900s that in Lutheran churches we had Sunday school. But it started outside the church, and then the church, it actually was sort of a problem for Protestant pastors and church leaders who said, whoa, this is powerful. And they were concerned about what was being taught and what wasn't being taught. And so there was an effort by church leadership denominations to sort of lasso this big lay movement. And they pulled it in into the churches and said, you know, we want to have some oversight. This is spiritual teaching. And so that's how it got in the church and became official. And now, you know, of course, what church doesn't have Sunday school? And we sort of take it for granted, I think.
In my experience, it not only was for the kids, it was also, in many ways, it blossomed into things for people that you couldn't, you know, realistically call children anymore, even up to the adult ages.
That's right.
The church that I attended in Dallas, Texas, throughout my youth, had probably at least four or five, if not more, adult Bible classes called Sunday school going on between mm-hmm. services, as well as the stuff for the little ones.
That's right. And I think there's a real strong heritage of that, particularly in that Southern Bible Belt area. The Southern Baptists are real strong with Sunday school up through adults. But we have that, too, in our churches with, we call it adult Bible class, but it happens during the Sunday school hour. It's something for the parents and others in the congregation, and a pastor teaches it or some lay member. So there, that tradition is there, and I think in most of our churches there's something for little ones and adults. But we're sort of on autopilot, at least the churches I've seen. You know, well, yeah, we got Sunday school, it's September, let's order some materials, find some teachers, and off we go again for another year.
You mentioned that it has, in many cases, come to be dominated by kind of an ethos of entertainment. What do you mean?
Well, I think if you look at the scope of curriculums that are available and even how these curriculums are advertised, so much emphasis on fun and so much emphasis on lots of activities and keeping the kids busy and focused, that has become more the goal than letting activities serve the goal of imparting the scriptures to children, so that you have movement games, because we hear that children need to move in order to learn, and quickly half of the hour, the precious hour that you get with kids, is spent doing some goofy kind of movement activity that really doesn't, in the end, teach about Christ or sin and our need for a Savior. But the kids had a good time, you know, or they threw water balloons or whatever interesting kind of thing they did. Often these activities, well-intentioned in materials, have distracted children from the purpose of Sunday school, to teach the scriptures.
Okay, you've said this several times, to teach the scriptures, to inculcate the children with God's word.
Mm-hmm.
How would you put it? What is the, if you were making a case to a congregation that doesn't have Sunday school, why they should have it, and what it should be in the best of all possible worlds, with about 30 seconds before our break, how would you put it?
Okay, great question. Sunday school is not the only place. Sunday school is an extension of the church and an extension of the home, where at the appropriate developmental level, we provide teaching in God's word for every age, where we expose children and adults at their understanding level to God's word, to their sinfulness, to their need for a Savior, to God's thread and plan and unveiling of salvation from the garden when we fell into sin, to Christ on the cross, to what that means for us for all eternity. Where else can a third grader hear these things directly to his third grade mind?
All right, let's take a break right there. We're talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, about the apparent decline of Sunday school. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by and feed them on your...
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about a Wall Street Journal story, talking about the closing of Sunday schools. You know, I imagine if you've made, once you've got children's church and you've kind of dumbed down the regular service on Sunday morning to an adult child's level, to the adolescent level, You might, in fact, find yourself saying, what use is Sunday school? If we're not going to teach the adults anything weighty in matters of God's word, we certainly wouldn't be teaching the kids anything weighty, would we? Maybe that accounts for part of the decline. Before we go on, Pam, I'm very, very happy to announce that we're going to resurrect our weekly series with you, our ongoing, never-ending, hopefully, weekly series with you on teaching a Sunday school lesson in mid-August. Looking forward to it.
I sure am, too. It's great news.
We got so much feedback from people when we were doing this before, how much those who were preparing to teach the young ones on Sunday morning enjoyed doing that, found a great benefit in all the insights that you brought to our airwaves. And when we weren't doing it with you, we heard from people too saying, where's Pam? So, hey, we got to bring you back.
That's great. I can't wait.
Okay. Do you think that a lot of it has to do with something I just mentioned, that we've dumbed down the entire curriculum for everybody in terms of even what we're preaching to them on Sunday morning? And if we're not going to teach adults anything weighty in the matters of God's word, we're certainly not going to do it for the kids.
I think that's right on the money. All church in general, in broad ways, has really been dumbed down, simplified, shortened, condensed, smoothed over. And I got to read a quote from a blog that was speaking to this article because it's right on it. It says, show me an example of the gospel message from the New Testament. Show me an example of the gospel message being presented in a frivolous, silly way to make it more fun for kids. Where do we get off? How dare we trivialize the gospel that has the power to save souls from hell by turning it into the lowest common denominator summertime activity? And, you know, I think that's true. Kids need to know their need for a Savior. They need to know their sin. And a lot of curriculums don't want to talk about that. And honestly, sometimes we hear from customers, I can't believe you covered this Bible story because it's so harsh and it's so severe, God's judgment in it or whatever. But this is real. This is true. And these are life, eternal life matters.
What's the difference, Pam, between something we obviously want to avoid, that is dumbing it down, and what you mentioned before, and that is teaching God's word to these children at a level, in content and in form appropriate to their age?
Oh, it's really important to do, and there is an art to doing that, to understanding what a kindergartner can grasp, to understanding that at that level they're very concrete. You can't say things like, well, you know, Jesus was like this, so you're like that. They can't make those comparisons, and it's knowing those kinds of nuances about child development and then focusing on what they can understand. So at very much like we hear the classical education people talking about the grammar stage, where you teach the facts, you teach what it is straight up, who the people are, you teach the vocabulary, and you build on that from year to year as the children grow in their development and ability. And then as they get into fifth, sixth, seventh grade and on up, then you begin to help them see how these things really matter in their life, or how they can really compare themselves, say, to Joseph, whose brothers wanted him dead, and in the position of should I forgive or not. You can talk about that to a first grader, but he doesn't really get how he's like Joseph. But a fifth or sixth grader does, and a junior higher does even more. But you build on teaching who Joseph was, who his brothers were, who his father was, and each year they learn more as they grow, and they grasp the deeper, the broader, the meaning. And in all of your teaching, at all levels, you always talk about our sin and how we sin like the people in the story, and about our loving God who saved the people in the story, and he saved you, boys and girls, with his son who died on the cross for you. But it's a gradual, just like as a parent, when your child was young, you taught them basic things, things they couldn't understand, but you knew they had to know, like brushing their teeth. You don't explain all the science behind that. You just make sure they know how to brush their teeth. When they get into science class in third grade and the dentist comes to visit, they learn a little more. And when they get into high school, they get a little more about bacteria. But they don't have to know all of it to know to be taught fundamental things that are good for them for life now and for the future.
Talk about something I know is close to your heart, and that is the need to keep the connection between what is taught in Sunday school Sunday by Sunday, what is preached and sung and prayed in the divine service Sunday after Sunday, the connection between those two.
That connection has to be so tight. We're talking about a child who has been brought into a family, just like a child born into a human family, brought into the family of God through water and the Word at baptism, who is being raised in this family. And you want a consistent family experience. We all speak the same language. We have the same way about ourselves in the family so that it is comfortable. And Sunday school, in a culture that puts kids first, and it's all about kids and what they want and what they need, it's a temptation to make Sunday school the thing for kids. But really, the thing for all of God's people is that worship service, the divine service where God comes to us in His Word and in His sacraments and gives us the gifts of heaven, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Everything else has to come out of that. So Sunday school ought to flow out of that, and a child ought to, in Sunday school, taste of, sample, be taught how to live in God's house with God's family. So that if we're going to have worship in Sunday school, no, we're not going to do divine service setting 3 or page 15, but we're going to do some things that hearken to what goes on in the worship service. We're going to have an invocation. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. We're going to say the creed, perhaps. We'll have a hymn. We'll follow an order that is familiar. We'll use the same words, church words, when we're talking about our faith. We're not going to be ashamed of those. We're going to teach them, just like we teach a child everyday words. They're not born knowing them. We have to teach them. The same in the family of God. We teach those words. And so there should be this tightness. And Sunday school really flows out of that worship, but it also ought to turn a child back and make him want to get back in there and be part of the family of God, worshiping and receiving the gifts of heaven.
So finally, then, with about 30 seconds, bottom line, even though it seems to be in decline, why send our children to Sunday school?
Because it is the only place where we can consistently offer, at a level they understand, an organized presentation of the Word of God, so that they know their Savior, and preparing them for life as a member of the family of God. And we've got to take it seriously as churches. We can't just be on autopilot. We got to train our teachers. They got to know how to handle the Word of God. They got to know how to distinguish law and gospel and not be afraid to talk about sin, death, and the devil, and Christ, and forgiveness, and eternal salvation. They got to be comfortable with those things or they ought not be teaching.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. What makes it unique?
Growing in Christ is a robust curriculum that teaches children the full story of God's love for mankind. It begins in the garden. It works them through all the major stories of the Old Testament and the New Testament, all the way through the Gospels and the Book of Acts, and in doing that, introduces the church's language, the church's music, the church's culture, and helps children see in every Bible story that this is real, this is true, and what it means for me today, and in every Bible story, where the sin is and where our Savior is, how to find Christ in those Old Testament stories and those shipwrecks of Paul, and to see why that matters for me, not just a cool hero, Bible hero, but this message, this story, happened so long ago matters for my salvation, for my eternity in heaven with Christ. And we do it at age-appropriate levels with activities and games, and we get kids in the Word, reading the Word, hearing the Word, and talking about the Bible stories. It's a wonderful program, and we have materials for three-year-olds through adult, and they all study the same lesson. No matter what age you are, you're all on the same Bible story, so a family can go home in the car and talk about what they learned in their class at their level and compare notes and have a great faith discussion and reinforce each other's understanding of God's Word.
Folks, you can find out more about Growing in Christ under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, or you can order Growing in Christ by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Thanks, Pam.
Thank you.
We'll have her back in August to start that Teaching a Sunday School Lesson series with her for good. Stay tuned. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Bernard Nathanson ran the largest abortion mill in the Western Hemisphere. He's done more than 75,000 abortions. He was still an atheist when he became pro-life and stopped doing abortions. The reason, he said, was advancements in technology like ultrasound, showing the unborn as a member of our community. Dr. Nathanson is now a Christian, but at one time mentored George Tiller, who was recently killed. Considering all we know about the humanity of the unborn child, he can't understand why Mr. Tiller didn't face this reality and stop killing unborn babies. If you don't, Dr. Nathanson said, you're just a creature of political ideology. I'm thankful God touched the heart of Bernard Nathanson, and he's now a beautiful witness for Christ and for life.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.